Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 201.
Hello from the other side. Thanks for listening to my podcast.
This is kind of weird. I can't do Adele.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He's a San Diego Chargers fan. Poor guy. Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today. This is session 201 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. I hope you're off to an amazing start of your day, and maybe it's the end of your day. I don't know, but I hope it was great if that's the case. But either way, I'm just so thankful you're here. We have a great episode today with somebody named Allison Schaff. She runs a site called PrepDish.com, and she is a chef who's actually found a great way to utilize her newsletter to build a business. And I am subscribed to her service, and I love it, and I use it, and we're going to talk all about it and how she got started. And it's amazing. So I'm actually not going to waste any more of your time, and we're going to get right into the content right now. So here's Allison Schaff from PrepDish.com. Here we go. What's up, everybody? Pat here with Allison Schaff from PrepDish.com, one of my new favorite companies, a service I've been using. We're going to talk all about it. But first of all, Allison, welcome to the SPI podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk today.
So this is really funny how we got connected, because I actually... somebody who is also a subscriber of your service told me about PrepDish.com. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is awesome. And I signed up and I told one of my friends in my mastermind group, Jamie Tardy. And she's like, no way, because Allison, who runs PrepDish.com, is one of my students. And I was like, this is such an insanely small world. So I just, this is so cool that we get to talk. And we obviously have a mutual friend with Jamie, who's amazing. This is Jamie Tardy from EventualMillionaire.com. Yeah. So I'd love to know more about what you do with her. But first of all, just introduce yourself, talk about what PrepDish is and how you got there.
Yeah, sure. So PrepDish is an online meal planning website. And the idea started, by background, I'm a chef as well as a dietitian. And I had a personal chef company, actually still have a personal chef company here in Austin. And with that service, I would go into clients' homes once a week and do their meal prep basically for the week, at least, you know, 3 to 5 dinners. And as I was doing that process, I realized with that company, the only way to grow, you know, I kind of kept charging a little more, And then I'm like, in order to grow, I'm going to have to hire a bunch of chefs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that model. I was like, I don't think I want to be supervising a bunch of chefs to go in and do this personal chef thing. Like, it was great when it was just me, but then in terms of growth, like that just didn't make sense. So I started to kind of look online and what can I do there to reach more people and what would be a better business model for when I have a family someday. Cause you know, going in and cooking in people's homes all day, every day isn't super sustainable, you know, if you're starting a family. So, that's when I realized, you know, this process that I was using with my personal chef clients, I actually started using it at home because I would get done cooking and the last thing I wanted to do was cook. So, I, you know, started doing this prep ahead thing where on Sunday I'd make all my meals in advance, just like I did for my clients. So that was sort of where the idea came from and started writing it all down and figuring out a way to put that into a format to give out to consumers everywhere across the country.
That's really cool. That's what I love about the services. It's kind of done for you. And it's not one like some of the other popular ones out there, like Blue Apron, where they actually ship you the food. You actually go out, buy the food yourself. And everything is listed, though, because that's I'd love to learn more about, well, how did you refine this? Because this is a great idea. And how did you kind of talk to prospective customers on what would be best for them?
Yeah, you know, early on, I had kind of like friends and family start and test it out. And also, you know, one thing I've known all along, too, though, is, you know, there's something for everyone. And there's some people that don't want to do the work of the prep. And there's some that do. So that's something I had to kind of learn early on, too, is it's a very specific person that is really into this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Really, the way it's set up is the way I think about things when I go into a kitchen. I'm a very efficient person by nature. And so when I walk into a kitchen, I'm like, how can I get in and out as fast as possible? So when I'm creating the meal plans, that's exactly what I'm thinking. When I go to the grocery store, let's list all the vegetables together and then list all the, you know, meats in one section. So that way, when you're in the grocery store, you're in and out as fast as possible. And same thing when you're in the kitchen prepping, like how can you get in and out of there? So that means anything that takes a long time, start with that and then move on to this. And so that way, versus just like following each recipe step by step, you're really being more efficient with your time and getting, you know, your maximum results for the time you spend in your kitchen.
Right. That's what I think is cool is kind of Sunday is prep day. So you go to the grocery store, you buy everything, you prep it, and then everything is ready for you when you eventually cook it. Later that week, which I think is really cool. And the interesting thing about this model is that for you as a business owner, you don't have to actually get all those food items ready for people and kind of in a subscription box like service ship them out, which I know Blue Apron, I've done some research on them, I actually subscribe to them too, because I'm getting into this space of food prep and I'm trying to decide which one I like better. And you know, they're both great for different reasons, but in terms of a business, I mean, yours seems just like to make complete sense because all you're doing is delivering a digital newsletter, essentially.
Yeah, you know, I have to send the PDF and that's it. And, you know, I think some people even appreciate that more because they're able to make it more flexible and suit their needs. You know, if I have a side of broccoli, you know, my subscribers are usually savvy enough to be like, okay, well, my family does asparagus. They can swap that out and it's a really easy substitution. So I think they like still having some control. And there's also people, you know, with allergies and, you know, food intolerances, they're really able to make the meal plans their own.
That's really cool. When you first started out, what was it like when you had this idea, you were doing it with friends and stuff and you were like, okay, this is going to be my business. What were your first steps and were there any challenges?
Oh, there were so many challenges. So as you can imagine, with the personal chef company, it was so straightforward. I went into people's homes. I needed a knife. There was zero overhead. I really didn't have to, you know, everything that I made was basically profit. But then with the online part, you know, with doing this online prepdish.com, it was, you know, just challenge after challenge. But I think that's what I've enjoyed about it. You know, at first I had to figure out, well, how am I going to send out these meal plans each week? And I kind of went through a trial and error period of a few different systems, and I'm still refining that. I actually just now signed up for Infusionsoft, and now I'm switching everything over to there. So it's just kind of, as I've gone along, has advanced to, I don't know, but I've had to just make it work, basically. Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm sure that, I mean, you're still refining, and I think that's really important. What were the numbers like in the beginning? Like, how long did it take you to get this off the ground? And also, in terms of getting the word out there, how did you do that?
Yeah, it took a little while, and partly because developing these meal plans takes a long time. I don't just throw recipes together. I make sure, you know, if there's half an onion used in the soup, the other half is used in the spaghetti sauce, or, you know, it's a very handcrafted product. So the development takes a long time. A key thing for me was connecting with other influencers. So finding some influential bloggers that were really complimentary to what I was doing. So one was 100 Days of Real Food, and she has a really popular blog. And so I worked with her in the beginning, and that was, you know, her audience was very similar to my target. So that was one of the keys, was reaching out to her and then finding other people like her to connect with and work with. And also, like, throughout the process, I've always been big on sending out surveys, getting to know my audience, not just demographics, but, you know, their preferences. I even send out surveys to know what foods, you know, what meals went over well and what ones don't. So that way I can refine those to where they're more well-liked. Although people's tastes are so spread out, sometimes it almost seems silly. It's like never consistent. But yeah, so just really getting to know my audience has been huge too, in terms of figuring out how to target them. Like, if I ask them, they can tell me, you know, where they're at, who they're listening to, and that sort of thing. So that's been really helpful.
How do you manage that process of communication? Is it simply through email and you get responses, or do you have some sort of tool or third-party software that you use for that?
I don't have a third-party software. So I have an assistant that helps a lot with that now. And right now we're using Google Sheets is what we do to just kind of track who's in charge of the communication, where we're at with everything. You know, I have a list of everyone we've worked with in the past and the links, and, you know, we track that all, but right now it's just in Google Sheets.
Okay, cool. And you had mentioned somebody that you had mentioned, you had mentioned Lisa from 100 Days of Real Food, Lisa and Jason.
Yes.
They were actually featured in episode 107.
Oh, really?
Of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Yeah, they're amazing. They're great.
And, yeah, they really are.
So I'm curious in terms of how you guys work together. You said you reached out to influencers. A, how did you reach out to them? And B, what does that mean for you and for them? Is that some sort of deal you create, like an affiliate deal, or what does that mean?
You know, it's usually, well, I just reach out and say, hey, look, I'd love to partner or sponsor. What sort of opportunities do you have? Usually they have some sort of media kit or sheet already put together, and they can send me sort of what the opportunities are. Although I've worked with smaller bloggers too. They're just kind of like figuring things out. And so then I'll just make suggestions of things that I know that have worked for me in the past. A lot of times I'll do some sort of dedicated email, or really the best thing too with bloggers is I get them to jump in and actually do a week of Prep Dish meal plans and write a review on that, because that's the best way for their audience to really get in there and see what it looks like, because they can, you know, the blogger will post pictures and talk about it, and then they really understand, like, oh, wow, I see what it is now.
So, yeah, totally. I mean, speaking of that, I mean, that's why I'm sure something like Instagram or Pinterest would be really important to to something like this. And I know for bloggers, especially in the food space, Instagram is like the place to be and to place to share those things. And for you as a business owner with this kind of model, does Instagram play a role for you, or any social media platforms play a role for you in your marketing and outreach?
Yeah, they do. And Instagram's big, although I will say what we use even more, and in terms of my audience, more of them are on Facebook. I think like 55 to 60% are on Instagram, but, like, you know, obviously Facebook's very popular. I think pretty much 99% of them are on Facebook. And we have like a Facebook group page, and that's been huge in terms of just allowing them to get to know each other and have a group. And, you know, Prep Day is this thing where you spend 2 to 3 hours doing your meals, and at the end, that feeling is so amazing. And being able to share a picture, or just to, like, hey, I finished Prep Day, and have someone understand what that means, is really helpful to have a platform to do that and to share that. So
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I do this presentation about building raving fans, and one of the top things you could do to help build raving fans is give people a place where they can connect with each other and share these things that essentially they're identifying themselves under you in terms of what they do. I love how they're starting to create their own language of, you know, prep day and getting excited about it and working together. I think that's key. When did the group page come into play for you and your business?
Gosh, I want to say maybe it's been up for a year. It wasn't in the very beginning. I don't know, but I think within the last year I've put that up, and but that's really been a big help in terms of connecting people and also kind of getting them away, because, you know, they'll email me for substitution ideas, and that's fine, and we're happy to help. But I always say, the best place is that Facebook page, because me and Andrea will both monitor that and we'll respond to that. But then you also get the response of all these other folks, and maybe they've actually already made the substitution. So sometimes they're almost a better person to contact.
Yeah, I mean, I find the same thing with the SPI audience. When I have a question, or I share a blog post or something, the comments are usually a lot better than the content I share sometimes, which is really interesting. And I think for your business model too, because it's a actually, could you describe for everybody what the pricing model is like? Because it is a recurring fee to continue to get these newsletters, correct?
Yep. So it's $14 a month, or it's $99 for the year. So that's like, you know, about $2 a meal, $2 to $3.50 a meal plan. And each week they get an email, they click on a link, and it's a PDF with that meal plan, which, as we were talking about, is a grocery list, and then those instructions on how to get prep day done on Sunday.
Yeah, it's very well done. And, you know, like I said, I get those emails every week too. And I look forward to those emails. And I think that's how your subscribers feel too. And when you combine that with the group, you know, as they say, people subscribe for the content, or they buy for the content, but they stay for the community. Mm-hmm. And I think the group page is a key element of the success of the brand, of any brand really, to, you know, continue those conversations within that community and to keep people paying month after month. And I'm curious, in terms of the pricing specifically, or the price specifically, how did you land on those prices? So $14.95 per week, or $99 a month, or no, it's
$99 for the year.
$99 for the year, $14-ish a month. Per month.
I just sort of looked to see what was out there. You know, it's funny, in the beginning when I was doing this, of course, when I saw how much effort went into the meal plans, my instinct was to price them higher than they are, just because you're spending all this time on them. But then I just sort of, when I first started, looked to see what was sort of standard out there. And I actually didn't go the lowest of the standard, because I felt like I wanted to be seen as a quality product. And sometimes to do that, you want to sort of be at the upper end of what they're priced, but it's within the range of what all the other meal planning services are.
That's cool. In terms of automation, because there's a lot of things you do over and over and over and over and over and over, over again. How have you nailed down those workflows and processes? What are some systems that people who are listening can potentially put into place in their own business?
Well, I mean, PrepDish itself is sort of like a batching system. So as you can imagine, I love to batch things as much as I can, whether it's the Friday newsletters, I'll do those all in advance. I will go back in there and kind of add in, you know, if there's something going on personally, I can add my little note, so that way it's current. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the meal plan tips and all that, I'll, you know, do, right now I'm usually doing like a month in advance. I'd love to do further out. Gosh, everything like that. And blog post, Andrea helps with those, but we try and do those a few months in advance and just sit down and do those again all at once. So those are batched. I think everything's sort of set up that way to where we can do it. And the meal plan testing itself, that's what takes a lot of time, to be honest. And as each round of testing, I get better and better at, how do I make this a system? How do I get myself out of the process somewhat, so I'm not doing all of that, and that's the only thing I'm doing? And it gets better each time. Each time I kind of find one new little way to make it more efficient.
What does food testing mean? Are you actually like creating these dishes ahead of time and sharing them with people to get feedback on it, or what does that look like?
It's more just testing it in my kitchen and making sure. So in the beginning, you know, from the years of cooking and for other people, I kind of knew the recipes I wanted to use. The problem was I didn't have amounts written down. Mm. So basically my process is it's already in my head. So I start by writing down the recipe and then I just test it to make sure those amounts are correct and that it turns out okay. But usually it's stuff I've made before, but then I just have to go through and follow a recipe and make sure that all of the amounts are right. You know, because sometimes the spices and stuff, I can be off by like a tablespoon or a teaspoon or something. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah,
the prep dish newsletters that come in every week, they look great. They're structured. They almost look like a blog post in itself in the way that they're created. How are you doing that? And kind of what software are you using to make that happen?
Yeah. So right now everything's in MailChimp. But as I mentioned, so the way things are set up right now, the site is on WordPress and the shopping cart is a company called Cratejoy. And Cratejoy is actually targeted towards subscription boxes. It's a local Austin startup, and they're great, but I don't have a physical product to ship. I have an e-product. And so I'm not really their ideal customer. And I just, the further I've gotten into that platform, I've realized there's things that I want that I don't have. And so just recently, I decided to make the shift to Infusionsoft, and we're setting that up, but currently we're still on the Cratejoy MailChimp system. So, and I actually, the day I decided to go to Infusionsoft, you had the podcast about
like how I switched away from it.
It's like, I'm going to listen to this and maybe it'll be this, but then that ConvertKit and that just didn't make sense for my business model. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm still going to do it.
I was going to say the business model that you have, Infusionsoft is like the perfect solution for it. There's a lot of automation processes you can use and, you know, triggers you can set up. And especially because there's physical products, there's not physical products involved, but there's a lot of parts to the puzzle. It definitely seems like ConvertKit wouldn't work for you, but Infusionsoft will. And my recommendation to you is to just beware that it's a little complicated to set up, but there's a lot of help out there.
Yeah, I've heard all the horror stories, and my husband's actually also an entrepreneur, and he's helping out a bit with PrepDish, and so that's sort of been his task, is to figure out everything Infusionsoft and
Cool. All of it. Nice. So he's an entrepreneur too. Does he have other like his own businesses on the side too?
Yeah, he does. So he actually has affiliate marketing companies. One's called Shop Partner Centric, and the other is Formita Coupon. He's had them for, gosh, like 10 years or something. Wow. But he just stepped down from his role of CEO and is kind of looking to maybe move on to the next thing. And while he's figuring that out, he's sort of helping me out. So
that's cool. What was it like when you first started? Because you were a chef before. You weren't necessarily, well, I guess you had your own business as a personal chef. So you kind of had entrepreneurial in your blood anyway.
Yeah, you know, and even when I went to culinary school and I did grad school in nutrition, but I've always been an entrepreneur. So it's like, even when I went to school and I was learning culinary and nutrition, I always knew I wanted to do something entrepreneurial and somehow combine food and nutrition, and doing just sort of that standard desk job was never, I never thought I would do that, and just knew I would do my own thing. I mean, even in high school, I was kind of doing these entrepreneurial little odd jobs here and there and creating companies and like selling cookies to my dad to take to his board meeting.
Nice.
And yeah, I've kind of always known I'm an entrepreneur at heart.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Now let's shift the conversation over to Jamie. Again, okay. This is Jamie Tardy from Eventual Millionaire. She has a program called, she has her crew of hustlers and she coaches a lot of people. So she's primarily a coach, or has been doing that for a while. And I guess we'll give Jamie a little plug here in this episode. But anyway, I'm just curious to know, like, how was she able to help you? Or what was the advice to you? What were your struggles, and how were you able to break through those?
Yeah, working with Jamie was great. We just kind of wrapped up our 18 sessions, but it's been, there was a lot in terms of analytics and pulling numbers and tracking things that I wasn't doing. And she right away was like, what's your number here? What's your number there? And we like laid it all out, and I'm tracking everything now. So it's been huge to just figure out what works, what doesn't. And now that we head into 2016, we can just really kind of tune into those things that we see based on the numbers are working.
Yeah.
So that was the main thing, but you know, just always also like keeping you more focused and more motivated to just push a little more, you know?
Of course.
That little nudge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious about the numbers. I mean, the numbers are so important. The numbers never lie. And that's why when we watch Shark Tank, for example, they always are like, well, what are your numbers? How many sales did you have? You know, what's the cost and all that sort of stuff. It's so, it's so important. So what, if you can give us an example or two of some numbers that changed or stuff you started to track and how that actually played a role in the growth of your business.
Yeah. She had me start using lead pages, and that was huge because every tactic that I do is a separate lead page, and I can very clearly see how many people arrive to that page and also how many people converted, whether it's a joining my email list or doing a free trial of the meal plan or whatever. But having that information is so valuable, and I don't know how I did it. I don't, just now looking back, I'm like, how can you do anything without having that information? You have no idea what's working. I mean, you can kind of get a sense, but this is just, the numbers are there.
So you said these different tactics. I love lead pages. I'm an advisor for the company, and I obviously am very supportive of what they do, and they obviously work. But in terms of these different tactics you talked about, that lead pages played a role in, and what do you mean by different tactics?
Yeah. So like I said, we work with bloggers, but then I've done Facebook ads, and those all run to a lead page. And then I've also done a lot with sponsoring different podcasts. And so kind of track those too.
Which one works best for you?
Out of those three?
Yeah.
It's not which one, it's like which person, you know, it's kind of like finding that 100 days of real food person. Cause I found it's really dependent on just finding the right people. And it's finding those people that really have a connection with their audience, and that you can't really put into numbers, but I can sometimes sense when it's there. Like with 100 days of real food, it's there. Like her audience, she has a good relationship with her audience.
Totally.
And it shows. So, and they know that when she's not just going to go and promote anything, she's going to promote things that she thinks would help them and that she feels comfortable promoting.
I think that's a really important lesson, because you're right. It's great to connect with people who have this connection with their audience. And when you are out there, you're trying to promote your business, it's really tempting to just mass email as many as you can, you know, and not even really pay attention to that connection and the trust. So I think it takes some time up front to really do your research properly, to get into exactly who it is that you're reaching out to and why they're important, what their likes and what their audience likes about them. So you can really, you know, have these personalized messages. And I'm sure you just didn't send a kind of boilerplate email to Lisa. You kind of knew already what she was about and were able to make a connection in that way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. What are some of the challenges you're having currently? Because you said you started with some challenges, you broke through those, and the numbers thing with Jamie, that I think that's important too. Like, what's next for Prepdish? What are you working on right now?
Well, I mean, this Infusionsoft is definitely a priority. I want to get everything set up before January. So the thing with meal planning is it's definitely sort of cyclical in terms of when people care about it. January is obviously one of those times, sort of January, February, and back to school time as well. But so right now, like in the immediate next month or two, it's getting that Infusionsoft set up and working so there's no kinks.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's key. And, you know, the holidays, like you said, play a big role, in New Year's with the resolutions that people have with their diets and whatnot. Are you doing anything promotional wise during this time to knock it out of the park?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like 80% of what I do is in January. So
really, like, yeah, is it like, just everything you used to do, but scaled up, or are you doing anything special?
Yeah, I mean, I've just, everyone we've worked with that has worked, we're reaching back out to them. What can we do with you in January? What can we do with you in January? So yeah, anyone that we've worked with, and new people, just based on, we just ran another survey with the customers. And so through that survey, they kind of list out, you know, who they, what blogs they read, and what podcasts they listen to and all that. And so then that information is really valuable in figuring out who to target in terms of sponsors and partners.
That's really cool. I love that idea. And we are recording this right now in November, and you're talking about January already. So you're planning ahead a little bit for this, which I think is key. So you're thinking about this like a real business, and I like that. And I really love what you have going on. This is great. Where can people find out more about you and, you know, obviously prepdish.com, but do you have like a Twitter account or an Instagram, or where else can people get to?
I'm all over all the social media platforms. It's just at prepdish or / prepdish. So that's the easiest way to find me. And of course, we also, you know, we were talking about lead pages. So of course, I have a special offer for the our listeners, and it's preptish.com/SPI for
nice.
Smart Passive Income. So I have that set up. And because this is going to be airing in the beginning of 2016, what we always do is a 50% discount on the meal plans. That's really awesome and a great opportunity, because it's really the only time of year that we run that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And, you know, just to finish off here, because we have a few minutes left before the half hour, I'm curious, like, in these surveys that you do, which I think is very smart, because I've recently gotten in tune with just how important surveys are after reading Ryan Levesque's book, Ask, and writing a survey, which has really determined the future of my business. In terms of, if like, negative feedback is what I'm trying to get at, people who potentially don't like the service, have you gotten any of that? And if so, how do you handle those kinds of things? Because I know that you said earlier, Preptish isn't for everyone, but people might not know that until they're in the system. And how do you handle those people who want to cancel? Do you do anything, for example, to try and get them back, or what is that process like?
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess when someone cancels, I don't worry too much about trying to get them back, because I do realize, like, it is aimed to someone who's willing to put in that, you know, 2 hours on Sunday, and that's just not for that's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And in terms of negative feedback, you know, it's been helpful. I have Andrea, and she responds to all the customer inquiries, and I've had someone else do that for a long time, and that's really helpful to me, because we don't get a lot of negative feedback, but it's really easy to get wrapped up when you read like one silly negative thing. And, you know, you put so much effort into making something that you just put your heart into. And so it is sometimes hard to read those. So I like having someone else to filter them out for me, because we do everything we can. And like sometimes, you know, someone can't find it in their inbox, and it's like, well, and we always troubleshoot with them, but she does a good job of like sending me all the like glowing, beautiful, positive reviews. And
right. Isn't that crazy? That's entrepreneurship. I think that's just human nature math, which is like one negative comment is greater than 100 positive comments.
And
this.
Yeah. And that's like exactly probably what the ratio is. But I see that one. I'm like, oh, like, cause edits, we spend so much time doing editing, but sure enough, there'll be like one typo and one plan, like, you know, every, you know, few weeks.
And how many
like
emails do you get about that?
Like typo? One silly thing. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, every day people are finding new errors on the site, and you know that used to bother me, and you know, now I have somebody who takes care of those errors when they come through. But you just have to remember why you do what you do, and I think it's very clear with you, and I just want to commend you for everything you've built, and I think it's a really smart business, and I just wish you all the best.
Thank you. It was great talking.
Thanks, Alan. We appreciate you, and we'll see you later.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Allison Schaff from PrepDish.com. Awesome stuff. Thank you, Allison, for your time. And thank you for those of you who listened. For those of you who would love the links and the resources mentioned in this particular episode, they are conveniently all laid out for you on the website at smartpassiveincome.com/session201. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/session201. Guys, I've really been enjoying this podcast, and I will continue to do it in the future for you. I know a lot of you have taken the information that I've shared here, the interviews that we've done with other experts and other people, and have actually taken action with it. And I just love you for that. I'm so thankful that I have an audience who is actually not just learning, but learning and putting things into place to make change in their lives and the lives of others too. I mean, we're all here to serve other people, I hope. But I know a lot of you also need a little bit more help. I've been getting messages left and right from people who have been asking for more and deeper information about certain things. So what I've done is that I've actually put together a number of courses, and there's more courses coming in the future, thanks to your recommendations. If you go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses, you'll see a list of the courses that are currently available there or that you can sign up for the waitlist for. Again, that's smartpassiveincome.com/courses. Check it out. I also want to give a big, huge, just virtual hug and maybe even a kiss to some of you too for all of your support for Will It Fly, my book that has just come out. And it was released February 1st. It's doing really well, and I'm just blown away by how people have already been using the content in the book to help them move forward, to validate a business idea. For those of you who haven't heard of this yet, maybe this is the first time you're listening to Smart Passive Income, or maybe you haven't listened to an episode in a while. My book called Will It Fly, How to Test Your Next Business Idea So You Don't Waste Your Time and Money. It is available now. if you go to willitflybook.com, or you could look it up on Amazon too. I'm just super thankful for those of you who have shown support for it and who have helped spread the word about it. It's something I've spent a lot of time and effort on, and to see it launch successfully like it has, I'm just really excited, and I can't wait for this to continue to help and serve people down the road, and more great things to come too. But for those of you who want to check it out, head on over to willitflybook.com. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the SPI podcast. Until then, keep moving forward, keep pushing that dial, and love you guys. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days. And it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at Hertz.com/business rewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit Hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value-packed solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.